This morning, we are going to be talking about the letdown, this idea of a failure, disappointment. Have you ever experienced a situation where your trust in someone was broken? Where someone let you down? Where someone made a mistake and it had an impact on your relationship? I'll give you a moment to think about that. Now, we all make mistakes. So the second part of it is, have you ever had a time where you broke someone's confidence, where you broke trust in a relationship? I know I have. And I got permission to share this story with you. Funny, Dave kind of just alluded to the beginnings of our relationship. But about 12 years ago, I let Dave down. There was a letdown on my part for Dave. Dave came to my church, and he was sharing about his vision for Awaken, and all this excitement. And I remember looking on stage and being like, man, Jake Gyllenhaal has this amazing vision for church, and I want to be part of that. Oh, did I say Jake Gyllenhaal? I'm sorry. And so I just remember hearing him, and I was like, I want to be part of that. And immediately I ran to him. I was like, when are we meeting next? And we would meet in his apartments, and we would also go to the bars to do book clubs. That was always like a fun experience, just to kind of be in the midst of that and just talking about life, talking about real things in the midst of a bar. Just for me, it felt so new. It felt so fresh. And we had so many great conversations with strangers. And we would go to the parks, just different kind of parks, and just spend time together, really be a community. And I loved it. And I loved being part of what God was doing in and through Awaken in the inception. And I remember, I was supposed to say Jake Gyllenhaal again. I remember Dave just spending so much time with me. He invested a lot. And we would go to Panera, and we would read different books on theology and speaking, and he would be there for all my questions. And I can't tell you specifically what changed in my life around that time, aside from working and school and just life things, but I ghosted Dave. I'm sorry. I ghosted Dave, and I just remember it. I couldn't tell. I don't remember why, and it wasn't anything about Dave. It was just I remember not responding and being like, oh, I gotta respond to him. I gotta respond to his text message, and then I'm not doing it. And then just the longer I waited, the more I was like, oh, I should, but it's like, and I just let that go on for a long period of time. And then it was strange because we kind of hung around in the same circles, and I was going into ministry, and so we were in the same district, and we'd see each other in places, and I would just be like, hi, Dave, and then just kind of continue on what I was doing. And we all have our letdowns. We all have moments where we break trust, where we have hurt someone, or where we've experienced that ourselves. And so this morning, we're going to look at Peter, at his life, and at a particular story where what happened after the letdown, and how do we move forward in stepping into reconciliation and moving into a renewed and refreshed purpose. The letdown. So growing up, if you had like a secret handshake with anyone, you knew they were special. You knew like you were like really close with them. So when you see them, you would give them like that dap, and it would be like some really complex thing, but only you two would know. And when you did it, you felt really special. And other people around you would be like, man, I wish I knew the handshake, right? And then there are some couples now, and probably then too, but whenever they go to a party, they have like a secret phrase. It's like, all right, I'm done with this, let's go, right? And then there was my family. We had this particular like secret phrase too, that if they were never around, but they needed someone to either come talk to me, pick me up, or just something that, for my brothers and I, they had to say the secret phrase. And once they said the secret phrase, whatever that person, even if it was a stranger, if that person said that, I knew that that came from my parents. I knew that that was like a special assignment that was important, and I needed to listen to it. So I kind of want to do something with us this morning. Whenever I say the letdown or something of the sort, I want you to think about the letdown you don't talk about. The letdown that is personal and that has never really been shared. Something that you feel shameful of or have. And I think in our lives there are some things we've processed. We've tried to move through it, but it comes up. We think about it when we're in our bed, before we go to bed, or when we're not really doing much of anything, and we might be a little bored, and it pops in our head, and we think about it, and then we push it away. So whenever I say the letdown, I want you to think about that. Think about it for a moment, and it's not to, one moment. It's not to, there's a purpose for it. And I think God wants to do something with that letdown. So we're going to start off with John 20. John 20, 30 and 31. Now, John 20, 30, 31, this particular chapter talks about the resurrection, when Jesus comes to his disciples and he talks to Mary and he's with his disciples and he shows Thomas, like, I'm here. I'm real. And at the end of this particular chapter, these two verses come and it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, not by acting, not by behavior modification, but by believing, you may have life in his name. So John is writing everything that has been written. This was for you to believe. And there's so much more that God did and God said, Jesus said, but I can't write it. But this is so that you could believe. And it sounds like this is being just tied up with a nice bow and sending it off. But there's a chapter right after this. And so it seems like John's like, so this is everything Jesus and God did. But you know what? Let me tell you one more thing Jesus did. Let me tell you something really amazing. Now, this talk was supposed to happen the week after Easter, but then I hurt my back and I got sick. So here we are today. But this has this amazing significance. Now, in order to kind of get to this moment, I do need to briefly take you on Peter's journey very quickly. Peter was fishing with Andrew when Jesus came to the shore and was talking to a crowd of people. And he shouts to Peter and Andrew because they were not catching any fish. And he said, cast the net over onto the other side. And from not catching any fish all night to then almost kind of tipping over with the amount of fish that they caught, Jesus starts to just speak to the crowd. And he gets on Peter's boat. And that is the beginning of the relationship. And Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Follow me. And so Peter follows Jesus. And they walk and they journey together for nearly 3 years. And Peter sees Jesus cast out demons, heal people, feed hundreds with just a few loaves of bread and fish, and raise Lazarus from the dead. And Peter himself is the only other human, aside from Jesus, who's ever walked on water. So he's had this amazing experience with Jesus. And then Peter gets to the table, the Last Supper, and Jesus starts, it's this really beautiful and intimate time where Jesus is sharing all of his heart, all of his love. And have you ever had like an awesome time with friends where you are usually it's usually over food. You're with friends, you're having some good food, some great conversations. I don't think anyone here washes feet anymore, but then they were washing feet. It was such a beautiful and intimate time. And Peter felt so invigorated and so passionate that he's like, Jesus, I will lay down my life for you. Even if all fall on account of you, I will not. So he's like, I will die for you. And as Peter said that, Jesus was like, oh, Peter, you know, actually by the time the rooster crows, you will have denied me 3 times. And I'm sure Peter was like really confused, but kind of like brushed that off, but still thinking in the back of his head, like, why did Jesus say that? But a few moments later, after they took their nap after eating, Judas comes in with his soldiers and servants from the high priest, and it's Peter's time to shine. And so, thankfully, he had a sword because he used that to chop the servant's ear, because if not, I assume he would have gone a little Mike Tyson in that moment. But he slices the servant's ear, and Jesus takes that moment, which I think everyone was ready to fight, and he brings peace instead. Instead of fighting and shedding blood, Jesus restores the ear instead of violence. Jesus is arrested, and he's taken before the Sanhedrin court. And Peter follows along with another disciple. And they get to this court, and it says that it's really cold. And so Peter stands by a charcoal fire next to the servants of the priests. I want you to remember the charcoal fire for a moment, though, okay? Hold on to that. So he stands by the charcoal fire, and a servant recognizes him. And it's like, aren't you a disciple of Jesus? And he's like, no, I'm not. Denial one. A few moments later, they're talking. The court is going on with Jesus. And someone else recognizes Peter. We saw you with Jesus earlier today, when one of the servant's ear got cut off. And Peter's like, nope, that's not me. I don't know Jesus. And it happens again. That was the second time. And then it happens one more time just right after that. And as soon as Peter denies, we hear the rooster crow. And Peter, he's distraught. He just realized that he had a moment of a setback. He had a letdown moment where he let down the person he loved so much. The person he literally said, I would die for you. I would fight for you. When no one else will, I will be there. He wasn't. And so he ran away. He ran to a place to hide, and he stayed there. And so we have this moment. This is the journey that Peter's taking. He's had some amazing highs with this person that he loves. And now he has this awful low. Because it wasn't like he was playing hooky on hanging out with Jesus. He denied Jesus in that moment when Jesus needed him most. When Jesus needed him most, he had denied him, his best friend, his Lord. And so in this space, Peter is feeling shame. Now, when I had stepped away and I didn't, I was avoiding Dave because of the shame and guilt I felt. And I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to have the conversation. And so I just avoided it. I avoided that space. See, in John 21, the next chapter after 20, the first two verses that we find Peter back home fishing. See, Peter returned to what he knew. He returned to what was most comfortable. See, it was Peter's regret that brought him back to the boat. It brought him back to fishing. Now, up to this point, Peter had saw Jesus twice after the resurrection. But he had never faced the issue. He did not face what happened. And so he went back to what he knew and he started fishing. And as he was fishing, they couldn't catch fish. And a figure appeared on the shore and it said, "Hey, how about you let down that net on the other side?" And so they did. And there were so many fish. The net was about to break. And it was in that moment, John looked at Peter and was like, "That's Jesus." And so Peter, scripture says he was naked. I don't think he was fully naked because they didn't really do that at that time. But I'm sure he was in his undergarment. So he wrapped it around himself and he jumped into the water to swim to see Jesus. And when the disciples reached the shore, there was a charcoal fire made, fish and bread. See, the first time Peter denied Jesus, it was over a charcoal fire. The Greek is only used in the book of in scripture, in the book of John. It's the only two times it's used is when Peter denied Jesus, and when Jesus set this fire and breakfast up for them. So these two moments. And so Jesus set this charcoal fire up, made breakfast, and set this space. And so when the disciples sat, they were really confused. They were like, "This feels like Jesus, but it doesn't look like Jesus." And they were scared to ask him, but all the other things, all the moments pointed to Jesus. The casting of the fish, the breaking of the bread. And this wisdom, they knew it was Jesus, but it just did not look like him. And so as they sat and broke bread, it said, "After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' Peter replied. 'You know I love you.' 'Then feed my lambs,' Jesus told them." Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked this question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." See, growing up, they always talked about the words, how Jesus kept on saying agape love, and John would reply phileo love. Agape means this over unconditional love, this God divine kind of love. And phileo means brotherly love. And so Peter kept on responding in phileo. And I kind of always thought that it was about that, because that's how I was always taught. But it would be really strange if every answer and every question was agape, 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 agape love. And so I don't think it's about the semantics. I don't think it's about the differentiation of the words as much as it is about how many times Jesus asked. You see, Jesus created these moments. Peter went back to what he knew, and Jesus took advantage of this. See, Jesus met Peter when he was fishing. Jesus told him to cast the net on the other side, and that reminded him of the moment Jesus called him to follow me. The fire was the moment Peter had denied Jesus three times. And breaking of the bread was something intimate that they did and that they knew and would recall Jesus. But the questions, "Do you love me?" three times, he was giving Peter the opportunity to forgive himself, to reconcile what he did, because Peter needed that in that moment. Peter had stepped away and went back to what he knew, and Jesus was creating a moment, "Do you love me?" See, Jesus didn't need to hear it. He knew what was going to happen. But Peter needed to say it. Peter needed to face his shame. Face the moment he felt like he failed and let Jesus down. So the question was, Peter, do you love me? It was for Peter's sake. It was for the love of Peter, so that Peter would come face to face with his shame and his guilt and say, God, I love you. You know that. And I think that third time where it says that Peter was hurt when Jesus asked, it's because it was a recollection that it was three times I denied you. In our lives, we have those letdowns, those moments of shame and guilt. And oftentimes we wish we could just bypass that. We wish we could just pretend it never happened, or just kind of magically like ask God, can you, God, to just magically like wave it to go and to disappear into the ethos. But we can't. And I think sometimes, despite wanting to run away, sometimes we need to come face to face with our charcoal fire moment, where in the midst of the charcoal, we have to push through for that reconciliation. So after this moment where Peter just breaks down and he's hurt, but he recognizes and acknowledges what Jesus did, Jesus goes beyond that and he says, listen, I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do so as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. This, he was telling Peter how his life would end. He was telling Peter how his life would end. And Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God with. Then Jesus told him, follow him. He said, follow me. So after Peter faced his shame and his letdown, Jesus reinforced that your life, like, you're with me. You're not gone. You will die. You will live your life to the fullest following me. And then he tells him again, follow me. This renewed purpose, being reminded of what his initial purpose and mission with Jesus was. See, after the letdown, we wish we can completely avoid it altogether. But what if the only way through forward is through this charcoal fire, being able to move into and through this? See, I believe that our letdowns are moments that we can truly grow from. See, even after our greatest letdowns, God offers us the opportunity to rebuild trust and find renewed purpose. We can build renewed trust with God, but we can also build and renew trust with ourselves, realizing that we can forgive and we need to forgive ourselves. Sometimes when we failed God, when we mess up, and we say, God, I'm sorry that I let you down. But I believe God's like, I wasn't aware that you were holding me up to begin with. See, God knew the ways you would let him down before he ever called you by name to follow him. It wasn't new that Peter was going to let Jesus down. He knew it. But he still trusted him. He still allowed so much, and he shared so many beautiful moments. See, to disappoint God would mean that you had something deep down inside you that God didn't see. And if we understand and know that God is omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and that he created us, there is no way he doesn't see something that we will ever do or ever say from left field. that will never come left field from God, for God. He knows it. See, God, he broke through time and space. He broke through our reality to be here so that we could know him. That despite all of that pain, despite all of our letdowns, to let us know that he loves us. So what do we do after the letdowns, whether it's in our relationship with God or in our relationship with others? What do we do? First is we have to acknowledge the letdown. Acknowledging the letdown is the first and most critical step in order to move into reconciliation. We have to understand that for ourselves and for others. Like, this is really important. It opens the doors for others to forgive you, and it opens the doors for you to forgive yourself. Second is to seek reconciliation. See, Peter had the opportunity to rebuild trust with Jesus through this conversation. And it was tough. It wasn't easy. But see, this seeking reconciliation allows us to find peace with the imperfection of others and ourselves. We could move from that place of comfort, from what we know, and step back into the parts that were tainted after our letdown. And the third is this renewed presence, the renewed purpose. See, reconciliation recreates the space in your mind and soul to reclaim the positive aspects of what was tainted by our setback. See, this idea is that after the letdown, after our setback, after our failures, we have to live. We have to move forward. After I was avoiding Dave in all the different either district meetings and get-togethers, I recognized that I needed, one, to forgive myself, but two, I needed to face what happened, face this relationship that I completely dropped. And so I had to acknowledge my letdown. I had to come face to face with the moment, recognize about what I did, why I did it. And then I had to seek reconciliation. And so I remember this meeting, everyone was together, and I saw Dave leave the table for this during lunch. And as he was walking away, I ran to him and I was like, Dave, filled with shame. I was like, Dave, hi. And he's like, hey, Sam. And I just like, I'm sorry. I recognize that a few years have passed, and I never acknowledged that I hurt you. I never acknowledged that we were friends. You were investing in me, and I just stopped talking to you. And I just want to let you know that I'm sorry. And Dave, being Dave, just smiled at me. And he's like, there was a moment of silence for a moment. He looked at me, he smiled, and he was like, it's okay. And he said, thank you. And for me, all that weight, all that shame that I was carrying with me, it left. It was gone. And it took some work, but the pain of carrying that weight was so much more than the moment of acknowledging my part and facing my fear. And so there was that moment of acknowledging it. There was that moment of confronting it and seeking reconciliation. And ever since then, Dave has been so good and kind to me. And so we have this renewed friendship and relationship and partnership. And so it was just an amazing and kind gesture. So thank you. But our letdowns, what are those letdowns in our life that holds us back from living, that holds us back from having the life and living life fully to what Jesus has called us to? And maybe in this moment, you're not acknowledging a letdown that you may have had, but you're acknowledging a letdown that someone let you down. It's important to forgive, to acknowledge it. And if that person hasn't reconciled, you can reconcile it. The open communication. And the part is to find that new purpose, the new purpose for that friendship or relationship. So the question is, how will you live after the letdown?